Please join me in the call to worship printed in your bulletin. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High. To the music of the lute and the harp, to the melody of the lyre. The righteous flourish like the palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. In old age, they still produce fruit. They are always green and full of sap. Please join me in the invocation. Almighty God, creator and sustainer of all, giver of every good and perfect gift, for the joy of seed time and the riches of harvest, for lifelong seed and sacred earth, for blessed sun and blessed rain, for the bounty of field and garden, forest and mine, for divine love that blesses our lives and speaks to our souls, reconciling us to you and to others. Help us that our work and homes, our schools and factories, our bodies, minds, and strength may be used as a sacred trust from you, that we may be good stewards of all these your blessings, and that we may so share our bounty with those in need across the world, so as to cause all lands to break forth into songs of thanksgiving. We give thanks, O God. Amen.
This past week, our music director, Dr. Joe Downing, had a medical procedure that got complicated and has required some hospitalization, so he will not be with us this morning. Late last night, I talked to his husband, Will, who assured me that Joe is doing fine. He will be home today. He will fully recover. And so I particularly want to thank Alice for filling in and doing so nobly. Thank you, Alice. And I've been saying for a few weeks now that we had Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday and Julia Sunday. So, Julia, where are you at? Julia, stand up. I want to thank you particularly for everything you do for the choir. You feel in? And there is no group that spends more extra time than the choir to do so much to enhance our life of worship. Stand up. We want to recognize you. Stand up. Now, it is, of course, with a very heavy heart that we've heard the news about the shooting at the synagogue in California that came, of all things, at the end of Passover. And I think in a world of hate, we really need to cling to the words of a Jew by the name of Jesus of Nazareth, who told us that the greatest law is the law of love, loving God and loving our neighbor. Yesterday, when I spoke to my wife, she asked me the question, what do we do here for safety? And I think that's a good question. One of the things the new police chief has done is to see that each place of worship in Syracuse has an officer assigned to them. And I think we would do well sooner rather than later to be in touch with that officer to see what safety procedures would be best for us. Now, as for today, this is obviously a special day of music. The order of worship is different, so you're going to need to pay attention, and I need to pay attention. After worship, I would like to ask you to remain in your seats. We're going to have a brief congregational meeting. We need to officially vote to approve the slate for those who will be our search committee. Then we're going to take a brief break. We'll come back to the sanctuary, those who wish, to hear Carolyn Hedrickson, who is the senior philanthropy officer at the Rescue Mission. They are ready to secure the LGBTQ youth shelter that we are supporting with our capital campaign. And as for me, after worship, I'm heading back home to the Cape for a break for a couple of weeks. And I sometimes note that if your preacher is a good preacher, your preacher needs a break. If your preacher is not a good preacher, you need a break. It all comes out the same. Which brings us up to next week.
morning, everyone. I just wanted to remind you all that next week is the Heifer Festival. So next Sunday, May 5th, after worship, there'll be several things going on and ways for you to participate in this annual fundraiser that we do to raise money for Heifer International. This will be our 43rd year raising money for Heifer. And over the last 42 years, we've raised enough I don't know exactly how much, but we've raised more than enough to purchase 8 ARCs, which is more than $40,000 over the last 42 years. And our goal this year is to raise $2,000. And there's several ways that you can help. So a few weeks ago, on April 7th, I believe, our kids passed out Heifer giving calendars and coin boxes. Next Sunday is the day to bring those boxes back. And you'll be able to turn them in either at the back of the sanctuary or the front of the sanctuary during a special offering time or before the service. And then, so that's one way that you can help. And if you want to participate in the calendar, for this last week, there's still some on the back table. So you can grab a calendar and a coin box and participate for the next week. Another thing you can do, we will be having a plant sale in the back of the sanctuary. All of the plants are donated by Carol Watson Greenhouse. And so if you're thinking about Mother's Day presents, or if you're thinking about starting your garden now that everything is starting to bloom and the weather is getting warmer and hopefully doesn't snow anymore, it's a good opportunity to buy some plants for your garden or as gifts. And we'll also be having a potluck in Memorial Hall. So next Sunday is Cinco de Mayo, so our theme is going to be a Mexican-inspired theme. So if you can bring some kind of Mexican-inspired food dish to contribute to the potluck, that would be fantastic. And if you would consider, you know, how much money you spend eating at your favorite restaurant and consider donating that amount of money to go towards Heifer. That's another way that you can contribute. And lastly, we'll have some games for everyone outside and in the parlor, including a piñata. So I hope everyone will participate in this joyful event. And if you want to help with your time, I'm still looking for volunteers to help set up and clean up, and a couple people to help with the games. So you can see me after church today, and if you can't find me after church, then feel free to email me or give me a call this week. So I look forward to a wonderful Sunday next week.
It is our custom that the last Sunday of the month we use the version of the Lord's Prayer that is found in the New Zealand Book of Prayer. If you also looked in the New Zealand Book of Prayer, you'd find these words with which they welcome people to worship. Brothers and sisters in Christ, let us praise and worship God who has called us together. Let us celebrate God's majesty and delight in the wonders of God's love. As the scriptures are read, we can allow God's word to speak to us and ponder their meaning for our lives. In our prayers, we give thanks for God's goodness. We pray for others as well as ourselves, and we offer our lives in Christ's service. All this we do because we believe in the presence among us of our Savior Jesus Christ and in the mighty power of the Holy Spirit. And further in the New Zealand Book of Prayer are these words: lead me from death to life, from falsehood to truth. Lead me from despair to hope, from fear to trust. Lead me from hate to fear, from war to peace. Let peace fill our hearts, our world, our universe. Let us now greet one another in the peace of Christ.
I invite everyone to be seated except for the kids and all of our youth. If you want, come on up for the story for all ages. Well, good morning, everyone. It's so good to see you all here today. Now, let me ask you a question. Last Sunday, we had a great big celebration, and who remembers what last Sunday was? It was Easter, yeah. And just like we practice Lent for 40 days before Easter, guess how many days Easter lasts? Because it's not over yet.
40.
Not 40.
Five. Seven.
Not five. More than five, more than seven, more than 40. You want a hint? It's half of 100.
50.
Yeah, that's some quick math. Good job. 50 days of Easter. And so we have 50 days to celebrate the wonderful life and resurrection of Jesus. And on Easter, we unburied a very special word. Do you all, don't say it yet. Do you remember what it was? Think for a sec. You remember? Okay, on a count of three, let's shout it out so that we can remind everyone what that word was, okay? One, two, three.
Hallelujah!
Good job, you guys. Okay, so we unburied the Alleluia. And I got to thinking, though, do you guys know what Alleluia means?
No.
No. Praise the Lord. That's right. It does mean praise the Lord. And it comes from the Hebrew word. It is the Hebrew word that means praise the Lord. Now, here's another question. What does it mean to praise the Lord? What does praise mean?
Worship.
It means worship. That's one thing that it can mean, yeah. What else? That one's a little bit harder, huh? Praise means to give thanks and honor. So when we say praise the Lord, that's a way that we give thanks and honor to God. And it's kind of like getting a gift, because everything that God gives us is a gift. And let's say somebody gives you a present. Do you have to say thank you? Maybe even if your parents, let's pretend your parents don't make you say thank you. Do you have to say it?
No.
No, you don't have to say thank you. But when you do say thank you for a gift, it's a way of giving that person who gave you a gift, it's a way of giving them another gift. A thank you is like a gift. And so when we say Alleluia or praise the Lord, that's a way that we can thank God for all the things that God gives us. So our bodies, our lives, the air that we breathe, the earth, God's love, animals, yeah. All of these things are gifts from God. And they're our gifts whether or not we say thank you. Even if we don't praise God, they're still our gifts because God has given them to us. But it makes God so, so happy when we give praise and say thank you. And there's all kinds of ways to give praise. We can give praise through song. We can give praise through dance, with instruments, with the way that we live our lives. And in just a couple minutes, we're going to go sit up on that pew, on these front pews, and we are going to listen and observe and hear some other ways to give praise. And I want you to be thinking about how you can give praise for the next 50 days of Easter. And let's be thinking about how we can give praise to God and thank God with the way that we live our lives each and every day. So let's say a prayer and we'll go sit down right up there. And then in a few minutes, we'll go to chapel time with Chris. Let's pray. Dear God, Alleluia, we praise you. We thank you for all the gifts that you have given us. And we pray that through our lives, we might praise you and that our lives might be gifts to others so that they might know you too. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Listen now for the word of God in Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise God in the mighty firmament. Praise God for mighty deeds. Praise God according to surpassing greatness. Praise him with trumpet sound. Praise God with lute and harp. Praise God with tambourine and with dance. Praise God with strings and with pipe. Praise God with clanging cymbals. Praise God with loud clashing cymbals. Praise God with piano. Let everything that breathes praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
A good portion of Handel's Messiah was taken from the words of the prophet Isaiah, including the words you're about to hear from Isaiah 40. They were written in the 6th century BC by Jews who had been taken into exile in Babylon and who desperately wanted to return to their homeland. To them, Isaiah wrote these words.
Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, and her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries out, in the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken.
Thank you.
I would like to tell you the amazing but true story of how I use scripture and song to defeat Satan. How many of you remember Anton LaVey? We don't have a Satanist in the group, I guess. Anton LaVey started the Church of Satan. He wrote, the Satanic Bible? He wrote the Satanic Verses. There were a lot of urban legends about him, but they were mostly stuff he created about himself. But a lot of musical groups in the 70s, 80s took off on that, and they propelled themselves out as satanic groups. They used satanic symbols. They made a whole lot of money. A certain amount of clothing was sold with satanic symbols. For youth, Satanism was sort of the ultimate way of rebelling against authority. But there was also some real damage done. Pastors in certain areas were warned to be cautious with sacred symbols like crosses and chalices, to keep them locked up because youth were stealing them and using them in satanic rituals. Now, in 1985, my family and I moved to Atlanta, Georgia. I served a small church, and I worked as the chaplain at a psychiatric hospital for adolescents. These were really sick kids. They had to be diagnosed with at least two mental illness problems. They were hospitalized for 6 months to 2 years or longer. While I was there, a group of young boys, and it would be the boys, not the girls, decided that they were Satanists, and they started using satanic language and satanic threats to threaten the other people. And it became very effective, especially against the girls, all of whom had been abused in one way or another. Well, the hospital administration got very concerned about these Satanists and how they were causing trouble and making the psychological problems even worse for people. So the counselors were asked if they would take care of the problem. They didn't know what to do. So then they asked the social workers. The social workers had no idea what to do. And then they asked the psychiatrists and psychologists if they could handle the problem. They were clueless. And finally somebody said, hey, let's ask the chaplain. Go figure. So I said, I'd be glad to do this, but you have to let me do it the way I want to do it. They agreed. So here's what I did. I spoke with the boys who were mainly those involved in the satanic stuff. And here's the deal I made with them. I said, you can come to the chapel 1 week, and you can say anything you want to say. And I will sit there, and I'll listen, and I will not speak. I'll just listen. On the condition that next week you come, and I will speak, and you sit, and you listen. Well, that first week, virtually everybody who was able to showed up. And so these boys got up, and they started quoting the revelation of St. John out of context and making some veiled threats. But it was interesting. Very quickly, they lost their bravado. There's something about exposing darkness to light that destroys the power of darkness. And their session sort of ended, not with a bang, but with a whimper. So next week, they agreed to come back. Everybody who wasn't confined to quarters showed up for this. So what I did was I explained that the revelation of St. John was written by a man named John on the Isle of Patmos, where he was taken as an exile. And for him to be able to get his writings out, he had to write them in code words to get them past the guards. And a lot of the meaning of those words has been lost in time. But there are three things we know about the revelation of St. John. First, these words were written as words of encouragement for the early Christians. Secondly, they were words of condemnation of the Caesars. Even when they were talking about sexual sins, they were talking about the evils of the Roman Empire. And third, they were written as a book of worship, words to be spoken and words to be sung. And so as a way of experiencing what the early church did, I asked this group of young people, locked away in a psychiatric hospital, severely disturbed, many of them, to join with me. And they did, loud and clear. The words are in the bulletin. I invite you to join with us.
After this, I heard what seemed to be the loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying,
Alleluia, salvation and glory and power to our God, for his judgments are true and just. He has judged the great whore who corrupted the earth with her fornication, and he has avenged on her the blood of his servants.
Once more they said,
Alleluia. The smoke comes up from her forever and ever.
And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshipped God, who is seated on the throne, saying,
Alleluia, amen.
And from the throne came a voice saying,
Praise our God, all you his servants, and all who fear him, great and small.
Then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the sound of many waters and like the sound of mighty thunder peals, crying out,
Alleluia, for the Lord our God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and exalt and give him the glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. To her it has been granted to be clothed with fine linen, bright and pure, for fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints.
And the angel said to me,
Write this. Blessed are those who were invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb.
And he said to me,
These are true words of God.
Then I fell down at his feet to worship him. But he said to me,
You must not do that. I am a fellow servant with you and your comrades who hold the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So, after that, you know, we do all these things without rehearsal. So, after that, I offered to give these young people a lesson in the history behind the characters mentioned in this, and somehow they declined to receive their history lesson. And from that day on, as long as I was at that psychiatric hospital as chaplain, by using scripture and song, sung in the early church, no more problems with Satanism occurred. And that's the end of my story. Thank you for listening. Now let's sing. Thank you. May God be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us pray. On this day, we are especially grateful for the ministry of music, for composers of melody and verse that give beauty to our time of worship. We thank you for those who compile and print and distribute hymnals that enhance our worship. We give thanks for those past and present who serve and served as members of church choirs, who directed and accompany music, that the songs we sing and the melody we hear raise our spirits, that we may love and serve you and one another more fully. We lift into the light of your presence Joe Downing and his family. We ask for Joe continued healing and strength, a return to his family home and to his church home. You have blessed him with a gift of music, and he has blessed us with his leadership. We give you thanks. We lift in prayer also our Jewish brothers and sisters at Chabad and Poe. We ask for them recovery and healing in all ways, and we pray for your spirit to bring harmony to all people. Grant that as you minister to them in the power of your spirit, that our love and lives may be part of your work. Grant us a vision of how we can be present in the midst of the world's needs. This we pray in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray, saying, Eternal Spirit, earth maker, pain bearer, life giver, source of all that is and all that shall be, Father and Mother of us all, loving God in whom is heaven, the hallowing of your name echoes through the universe. The way of your justice be followed by the people of the world. Your heavenly will be done by all created things. Your commonwealth of peace and freedom sustain our hopes and come on earth. With bread we need for today, feed us. In the hurts we absorbed from others, forgive us. In times of temptation and test, strengthen us. From trials too great to endure, spare us. From the grip of all that is evil, free us. For your reign in glory of the power that is love, now and forever, may it be so. Amen. Bring now a portion of the abundance God has committed to your care as an offering of thanksgiving. God rewards our faithfulness with further opportunities and greater responsibility, with deeper fulfillment and joy. Let us bring our gifts to God. Gracious God, we are thankful for the sound of music and the ability to express what we feel and believe. For all who haven't received the musical gifts, use their time and talent in the ministry of music, we offer our thanks. Grant that all our gifts given us may be used to your glory. Amen. Kaylin, why don't you stay up here? Just give them that. You can be seated, and I'd like to invite Jim and Gail up here. And Kaylin representing the congregation. Come up here. Yeah, they don't need to see me. Please join me in the ritual printed in the bulletin for the joining of new members. Friends in Christ, we are all received into the church through the sacrament of baptism. These people have found nurture and support in the midst of the family of Christ. They are here as we are to endeavor to love God with all our hearts, with all our souls, and all our minds. God help us. Let me ask you two who are joining today. Friends are joining. We rejoice in your pilgrimage of faith, which has brought you to this time and place. Do you promise, by the grace of God, to be a vital part of the family of Christ, to be Christ's disciples, to follow in the way of our Savior, to resist oppression and evil, to show love and justice, and to witness to the work and word of Jesus Christ as best you are able?
We promise with the help of God.
Do you promise, according to the grace given you, to grow in the Christian faith? And do you promise that so far as able, you will participate in the life of this church by worshiping God with us and offering your time, talent, and means for the ministry of this church and for the larger church of which this is a part?
We promise with the help of God.
We then welcome you as partners in the common life of this church. We offer you the hand of Christian love. Jim, I'm delighted to have you as a member. Gail, we are just delighted you're here and as a member. I know how much Joe really would like to be here today. Some of you are aware that Joe is in his, like me, he's in his 50th year. Me as a pastor, he as a music leader in the church, and he had a fantasy. It was just a fantasy that maybe we could do something better than that. What was it, 140-year-old organ or piano we used to have? Something like that. And then the miracle happened, and somehow God touched the heart. And we will always be grateful to you, Jim. Thank you so much. You know, thank you. Yes. There were times where Joe would say things like, you know, in a perfect world, this would be the piano. Doesn't get better than that. So I'd like to invite you to join with me in our dedication. It is right that we should now dedicate it to God and set it apart to the sacred use for which it is intended, that the ministry of music in this church may be to the glory of God our Creator, that we may more worthily worship God, to the praise of Christ, at whose birth the angels sang, that our joy in him may find more worthy expression. And to the Holy Spirit, in whose fellowship the discords of life are lost in the glorious harmony of God. To the Church of Jesus Christ and its mission in the world, the comforting of the sorrowful, the strengthening of the weak, the cheering of the weary, the cure of sin-sick souls, the swelling of the chorus of praise. To a deeper appreciation of the sacred hymns that are ours, the profound expression of God-inspired souls. Amen. in loving memory of Carol Vetter. Here in your holy presence, O God, surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses of all ages, grateful for our lofty inheritance and conscious of the sacrifices of those who have gone before, we do now dedicate ourselves and this piano to your service. You know, one of the things I sometimes hear leaving church is somebody saying, I didn't get anything out of that last hymn. And what I'd like to say, but don't say often enough, is, who cares? We really didn't sing that hymn to you. The question we should ask is, did that hymn do anything for God? St. Augustine said that those who sing pray twice, by praising God both in word and in music. It isn't just the words that move us. It isn't just the music that move us. It's when words and tune are joined together that we find ourselves lifted to a different dimension that God has for us. Now, for our congregational forebears in the 16th century, the only words that were acceptable were words from the Psalms. And they didn't believe in musical instrumentation. They thought that that thing that Mrs. Hay is sitting at was the devil's bagpipe. They didn't have instruments. All they had were words. And they took the words of the Psalms that really aren't that musical as they're written. And it sounded awful. But in 1698, a 15-year-old English lad by the name of Isaac Watts concluded that this incessant hymn singing was tedious, dreary, lifeless, and boring. And then one Sunday after worship, as he again was complaining about the music in the church, Isaac Watts' father said, "Young man, give us something better." And so that day, young Isaac Watts, at the age of 15, went home and gave us something better. But the hymnals weren't the hymnals we have. If you looked at a hymnal before 1850, what you would see would be the words. And it could be a jumble. All the first lines could be here, second line's there, third line's there, fourth line's there. Or the whole first verse was there, second verse there. You didn't really know. Not only that, the music didn't accompany it. What you would see is the name of a tune which you may or may not know. For example, if I said that we are going to sing hymn number 72 to Duke Street, how many of you know what that would be? Well, what happened was, around the time this church was founded, at our namesake in Brooklyn, at the Plymouth Congregational Church in Brooklyn, Henry Ward Beecher was the pastor. And they did something revolutionary. To us, normal, but to them, revolutionary. They put the words and the music on the same page. What a concept. And what happened was, Henry Ward Beecher was a great preacher. People came to hear him. But more people started coming so they could hear the congregation sing. What a concept. So I'd like you to turn to hymn number 300, which is our closing hymn. Let every creature rise and bring. Jesus shall reign wherever the sun. There is a little change in the words that he originally wrote. Originally, the last stanza was, let every creature rise and bring peculiar honors to our King. Some of us are exceedingly good at that. But if you look at the top left, it tells you the source of the words, Psalm 72. If you look at the top left, there's the composer, Isaac Watts. On the right, where the words are from, Psalm 72. If you look at the bottom, Duke Street. And there you have it. Let us sing. And now may we, on whom the light of Christ has shined, give light to the whole world. Amen.